Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Frank Spampinato, Chief Acquisition Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer. Frank, you gave us earlier an overview of your office and role, but could we go back and could you provide us a bit more details around the procurement function? Specifically, what are the key elements of acquisition management from the front-end solicitation to the post-award, and how does the procurement function fit into that process?
What I would like to say, mention a couple of critical components in acquisition, and, all the acquisition people out there are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But a couple of things that are critical. First of all, requirements definition. I mean, this has been a sore point, I think, forever in acquisition. Requirements do not get vetted as well as they have to, as they should, and we end up going back into acquisitions and extensive changes and cost growth, and because we didn't work the requirement issues up front. We're under a lot of constraints these days, and one of those is time, and sometimes we just have to get things on the table and get them out the door, and sometimes we just do that in haste and it doesn't work. So, requirements definition is one of those real important things. Another critical component is the program and the acquisition people working closely as a team. I've worked, most of the organizations I've seen worked, hand in glove together, and that's when you get a good result from a procurement. But I've also seen program officers and contracting officers who work at odds, and I'm telling you, it makes the job real difficult. The program office doesn't get what the customer wants, and it's just a real mess. So that's critical. That's another critical thing. I recently worked with a lot of professionals, a lot of fine professionals, and the Partnership for Public Service, putting out some tools for better contract management. And there has to be a lot more attention paid to actually managing the contract.
It certainly is a challenging environment. Now, I understand that you have over $20 billion each fiscal year in contracts and over 10,000 contract holders on GSA schedules contracts alone. Could you elaborate on your department's overall acquisition strategy? Specifically, can you tell us about the composition of your procurement portfolio and the ratio of prime contracting to maintenance and operations contracting agreements? And is this portfolio similar to what you might see in another federal agency?
Well, I think it would be, I don't think I could say we have one overall acquisition strategy because of the diversity and the differing complexity of the programs and acquisitions at DOE. But any contracting organization should have an overall philosophy as to how they are going to service their program offices, of course. And that philosophy should be one of realizing that we are a support function and the reason for our existence is that we have customers, period. I think this is a mistake that's made out there amongst some organizations because of the fact that in the public sector a lot, we have a captive customer, which means that they don't have another service provider to go to. I had the opportunity to work in one of the few areas in government one time where the customer did have a choice. To me, it's amazing what competition will do to an organization's performance and innovative capacity. We knew, we had to win these customers, and we did that. We went about doing that. So I think it's more of a philosophy than really being able to talk about one strategy. Now, if you want to talk about the procurement portfolio or the ratio of prime contracting to maintenance and operation contracting agreements, I think it's important to know that anywhere from 80 to 85% of our roughly $20 billion budget goes to our big management and operations contracts and our facility management contractors. When I first came on board, I heard the words M&O and I thought, oh, maintenance and operations, basically a contract with some base operations and contractor support. Well, to my dismay, I was wrong. We even have a special place for a management and operations contract in the FAR, in FAR Part 17. It's a contract under which, for those who aren't familiar, it's a contract under which, we have a government-owned contractor-operated facility, but the contractor is actually performing the mission of our agency instead of just providing support to run those facilities. So it's easy to see that our predominant contracting model sets us apart, you know, from our fellow agencies and departments in the federal sector. I love the opportunity to go out there and talk about the contracting model and how different it is from most.
Frank, as noted, DOE is one of the largest civilian contracting agencies in the federal government. And in the first segment, you mentioned the GAO high-risk list. Could you tell us what you're doing to respond to GAO's concerns about delays in awarding contracts? And more importantly, can you expand on what you're doing to successfully remove DOE from GAO's high-risk list?
Yes. I think these are kind of two separate issues, even though the delays in award do probably contribute to our existence in a high-risk list. We've taken, you know, many hits from external and internal stakeholders on our failure to award efforts in a timely manner, and rightfully so. I mean, even though we're looking at some efforts with a very high degree of complexity and sometimes in the billions of dollars, we need to do a much better job in awarding these in a timely fashion. And not only that, but, you know, we've got to make these things as much as we possibly can, these efforts more visible to the bidding public. The other thing I always mention about this is, you know, delays have a high impact on small businesses especially. You know, large businesses, big companies can kind of tread water sometimes for an amount of time and kind of wait till something comes out, till an RFP hits the street. But, you know, small businesses are really time-constrained and resource-constrained all around, so they're really impacted by this. Just another reason for us to take this really seriously. You know, over the last 18 months or so, we've taken a closer look at the whole process. You know, we did a lot of interviews, talked to people, took the processes, tore them apart, looked at them. I mean, we've done a lot of work over the last 18 months, and we're in the final phases of communicating and implementing a corrective action plan that will move us toward awarding efforts in a more timely manner and also providing more visibility to the public. Now, on the high-risk front, just to mention that, we've just completed a root cause analysis, which we've received encouraging comments from our external counterparts. And at this point, we are also working on a corrective action plan to make sure that we do a better job of facilitating that relationship between project management and contract management. Fostering that relationship will help us get off of the high-risk list. Now, I want to make it clear that the objective is not to get off the list. The objective is to work to make our project management and contract management processes work better and work better for everybody. But I think that will eventually help us get off the list.
Terrific. Now, in an effort to increase the transparency and accountability in small business contracting, the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, issues the Small Business Procurement Scorecard. Now, we discussed the small business contracting as one of your challenges in the first segment. Could you tell us more about this scorecard and what it tracks? And would you elaborate on DOE's performance in this area and the lessons you've learned?
Yes. The SBA scorecard tracks the actual achievement against the goal for each federal agency with regard to small business and socioeconomic businesses. This goal is negotiated beforehand between the agency and the SBA. And I'd like to take a second, matter of fact, to talk about that. I want to commend SBA. They work very closely with us and take a real interest in understanding the model and the constraints we work under. So I really applaud their work with us. And so to get back to actually what the scorecard is, to achieve a green, the agency must achieve 100% of its small business goal and meet at least three of the socioeconomic goals. To achieve yellow, they must achieve between 95 and 99%. They must also achieve 100% on progress as graded in nine specific areas such as senior level support, strategic plans, outreach efforts, etc. I can proudly state that the department was one of the seven agencies receiving a green on the initial SBA scorecard for FY06. A couple lessons learned that I've learned from this process, being involved in it. First, you have to have a good, detailed strategic plan for your program, detailing the 9 specific areas that you'll be judged in. You know, our OSDBU office, under the direction of Ms. Teresa Speak, does an exemplary job of this. I mean, that strategic plan is a good plan, great plan. Second, work very closely with the program offices, which includes helping educate them and holding them accountable. Now, the other side of that is, you know, we often say we have to educate them. We also have to become educated by them because we have to understand their programs and any constraints or issues or acquisitions that have been delayed or canceled. You know, we have to understand also. So the education is kind of a two-way street. We educate them and help them, and they educate us also. And third, you just have to attack this effort on several fronts. I mean, outreach, monitoring, accountability, subcontracting. I like to say it's the big picture approach. You know, there's a lot of focus on just the prime number. What are your prime contracts, your percentage of prime contracts? But I think when you're dealing with in subcontracting, we do maybe $2-3 billion per year in subcontracting for small business in the department. And I don't think that's looked at sometime. And I really think we have to, you know, paint the total picture.
Right. So, Frank, changing subjects just slightly, the environment is taking center stage these days, as it should. And the federal government has the ability to create and stabilize markets for recycled content products and other environmentally preferable products. To that end, could you tell us more about the green procurement and the federal green procurement preference program? Specifically, what could you tell us about what you're doing in this area?
Well, just to mention a couple big things that are going on in energy. First of all, the department developed something called the TEAM Initiative, which stands for the Transformational Energy Action Management Initiative. And this was created by the secretary because, you know, he decided, rightfully so, that, you know, the Department of Energy should and would take the lead on energy conservation, working with trying to be more environmentally friendly. So this initiative basically focuses on things such as reducing our energy consumption across the energy complex by 30%, having all new DOE construction or major renovations achieve a leadership in energy and environmental design gold rating, a LEED gold rating, as designated by the U.S. Green Building Council, and meeting or exceeding the Energy Policy Act requirement of having 7.5% of DOE's electricity provided by renewable energy by 2013. Now, another one, I guess you could call this one aspect of this initiative, which involves contracts or acquisition, is something called an ESPC. They play a major part in this. An ESPC is an energy saving performance contract. This is another topic that could be a very extensive briefing. Energy saving performance contract is a no upfront cost contracting method. The contractor incurs the cost of implementing energy conservation measures and is paid from the energy, water, wastewater, and operational savings resulting from the measures. So basically, the contractor will come in, survey the facility, the entire facility, put forth a proposal, obtain financing, and then over the long run will be paid from the cost savings out of that whole effort. Now, as you can imagine, these are very long-term contracts, like 20, maybe 20 years or so. So, and also they require a large investment from the contractor. But these are two items that where the Department of Energy is really taking the lead on the green procurement efforts.
That provides some very, very powerful incentives. How is energy recruiting and retaining procurement professionals? We will ask Dr. Frank Spampinato, Chief Acquisition Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.